Now, I'm certain that what James wrote in his general epistle would have been of great interest and great application to Peter here today in our gospel lesson. James was writing a couple of decades later, in a letter that went out to all the tribes of Israel, to all the Christians dispersed throughout the world, to all Christians who were Jews throughout the entire world. James' letter went out to all people several decades after the time of Jesus. But I'm certain that had Peter heard the letter, and assuming he did, I am certain that it must have struck him as being very apropos to him, and especially given what happens here in the Gospel of Mark today. Here is Peter. He is there with the disciples, and Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they respond, "Elijah, or one of the prophets." And then he says, "No, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter, bless him, stands right up and says, "You are the Messiah." And in one of the other passages, he says, "You are the Son of God, the Messiah." And for that, Peter should get properly awarded, you know, recognized. Jesus, however, says, "Don't tell anybody about that. Don't let anybody know that I'm really the Messiah. Not yet. It's not the time." And then he goes on and he explains how he's going to have to go and die. And Peter, the one who had proclaimed him the Messiah, takes him aside and rebukes him. Now, first of all, let's get our minds around that. He's proclaimed Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, not just a rabbi, not just a good and wise teacher, not just the guy, the guru they're following, but the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And then, impetuous person that Peter was, he pulls him aside and rebukes him. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been afraid of being a wet spot on the ground after that happened. But not Peter. Peter just sticks left foot in mouth. He's good at that. And what does Jesus do? The one who proclaimed him the Messiah just a few minutes before, Jesus turns to him and says in front of everybody, "Get behind me, Satan." The one upon whom Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. Deceiver, tempter, destroyer, get behind me." Now, what should this passage today teach us? It should teach us that even the best, the brightest, even those who have been in the faith for generations, even those who've been Christians for decades and decades, even those great in the wisdom that we heard about from the Proverbs today, even someone who has the gift of the Spirit to discern the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, the Christ, even someone like Peter can make a mistake. Can make a mistake like the one that we all make. When we open our mouths and speak things that we know we shouldn't be saying. I mean, if you're like me, you'll be in the middle of a conversation and you'll open your mouth and you will find words coming out of your mouth that you wish to God you could reach out and grab and put back in. Have you ever done that? Been in the middle of a conversation, talking with someone, laughing, joking, and suddenly you say something, and those words come out, and you wish you could reach out and grab them and put them back in your mouth, but you can't do it. Once they're out, they're out. And it always happens with someone who normally is not listening to a thing you say, or can't hear you at all, but this time they got their hearing aid on, or they're paying attention to you. They heard you when you said what you shouldn't have said, but they didn't hear you the rest of the time. Those words that come out, the result of a flapping tongue. I love what James says about the tongue here. "For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by human species, by us. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. The tongue full of deadly poison. It's a restless evil. And yet the tongue is very important, as we discovered with the kids. We lick things with it, we taste things with it, we eat with it, and we speak with it. I want to do a test here. I want everybody to take your fingers, come on, and stick your tongue out and grab your tongue with your fingers. Come on, come on, come on. Now, say something. Don't work, does it? Now you got your fingers all icky. Yeah. Doesn't work, does it? You grab onto that tongue, try to keep it under control, and what happens? You end up biting yourself, or biting your tongue, or both. You can't drink with it, you can't eat with it, you can't taste with it, and you certainly can't talk with it if you're trying to keep it under control. The more you try, the more trouble you get. The more your tongue dries out and your fingers get wet. You can't control your tongue. And all of us from experience know that when we are tired, when we are annoyed, when we have been through heck all day long and we come home and something happens, that little tongue can run the weekend, can it? Yeah, let me see hands of people whose little mouths and little tongues have just taken over. We all know that a tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Even the best of us, like Peter, even the best of us fail. Even the best of us, those who listen to wisdom and pay heed to her warnings, even the best of us have little tongues that flap poison, if you will. So what should this teach us? It teaches us that all of us, every one of us, from the greatest sinner to the greatest saint, each of us is in need of God's grace. Not a single one of you is too good for God's grace. I am not too good to need God's grace. And what is grace? It's the unmerited, unearned forgiveness and love and presence of Jesus. We all need the grace of God in our lives to control that little tongue. Because you and I, we can't control it. Not any more than Peter could. When he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him for telling him the truth about what was going to happen, about the fact that Jesus was going to have to die. It wasn't as if Peter was lying to him. Jesus was lying to Peter. Peter was hearing the truth, and he rebukes Jesus for it. That little tongue just started working. And so Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan, deceiver, destroyer. Get behind me." And that's what we should say too. You see, that little tongue causes so much trouble. It can destroy the good that we do. That little tongue and one or two or three little words can destroy a lifetime of good words and good deeds. It could destroy God's working through us and make it hard for others to hear and know the presence of Jesus in our lives. This little tongue can cause so much trouble because we can't control it, but God can. Just as Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan," so also we should rebuke the powers and forces of darkness, the evil, the poison, that James calls it, that our tongue can spew. Rebuke it. Say, get behind me. And move on. Now, the simple fact is, we'll go out those doors, myself included, and sometime today or tomorrow, especially if we're on the road anytime today, that little tongue will start flapping and poison will come out. We've been in church today. We praised God with songs and hymns and the scriptures. And we will flap poison today or tomorrow or the next day. That's called sin. The old man of sin in each of us. And that's why we need grace. Not just to forgive the sin and make it okay and whitewash it. No. To forgive the sin and then to wash us clean and transform us so that we won't do that as often. It's called sanctifying grace. The grace, the presence of the love of God, which can transform you and me. When we see our little tongue flapping away with poison, call on Jesus. Call on the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit to transform and quieten, shut down, silence that little tongue. And then lift it in praise to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm our faith with the historic confession of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find in the hymnal, page 881. Let us stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We received a card from